Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com, where we are liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. Welcome to the show, my husband, JC Hall. You know, JC, we switched seats.
It's different, huh?
Yeah, so now you're, I was in the low seat. Because
that's true.
We try to, my hair's all weird on this side too. We try to adjust so, you know, so that I'm not so short because I am so short.
I was going to say, I don't think it makes you less short.
It does. Well, it doesn't make me less short, obviously, but I am so excited to be back, JC. I can't handle all this time off, man. It drives me nuts. I was like, gotta do a show. Was I not? I was like, are you ready to do a show? I was like, man, just
you're manic
just
anytime you gotta
relax.
Day off, whatever
just
it
relax.
Is. There's no relax. Like, she doesn't know relax.
No, I could no not relax. Take it.
Now, me, I made a conscious decision to tune out and chill. So you're gonna update me on what's going on in the world?
Oh, man. Update you? I don't think so, my friend.
Thank goodness for Texas deacons.
Amen. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, look at this. I made a list.
Checked it twice.
Of all the things that I wanted. JC kept saying, no, we're going to take a break. So I started building a list of all the shows that I wanted to cover that I couldn't cover. And I've got 10 things now going on. So we're set for a whole week. I actually have a part of the show where I want to do a guest, special guest. So we got to get that arranged. First, let me just say thank you. JC, we got a Christmas card in the mail. And it said, "Dear Chris Ann, may the joy of the season shine brightly throughout the new year. May you and your family have a very Merry Christmas. Thank you for all you do." And they gave us a gift on the inside.
Cool.
But there was no return address and no signature.
Oh.
So I wanted just to say on the air, thank you so much for thinking about us this year. I would have said thank you sooner, but...
Whoever you are.
JC wouldn't let me come on the air.
All right.
JC's. Everybody should take a break. We should... And I
especially
will admit,
Democrats. They should take a break.
Oh my goodness. Nancy Pelosi needs to retire. These people are driving me nuts. Oh, what's interesting, JC, my list of 10 things, impeachment isn't even one of them.
Great.
I just realized I have a list of 10 things that I felt were really, 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 really important issues to cover, and not a one of them was impeachment.
Good.
So, again, if you are interested in impeachment, we have done lots and lots of shows on impeachment. And so go back and listen to the old shows. Do you know how many times people say, "Chris Ann, why don't you cover this?" I want to say, "Hey, why don't you watch our show?" Because if you watched our show, well, you know we'd cover this. So,
right.
And on YouTube, as if you're watching us now, YouTube, on YouTube and on chrisannhall.com, all our shows are right there.
Archived.
Mm-hmm. Everything's archived. Even on YouTube, it goes back years.
True.
I think this might be somewhere episode 1,018, 19, or 20 coming up, this one right here. So I don't really know, but I'm jazzed.
Cool.
These are my jazz hands. I'm jazzed to be back. Hey, I thought we would talk, this show, I really wanted to talk about the Constitution in general. And I have several teaching moments that we can do on specific issues on the Constitution. And so JC has, he
what
drives a submarine. Let's go ahead and play first the gun video. Before you do this, let me give a little background. And the reason that I want to do this is because I want to give people some example. You know, when we're on YouTube, I'm always typing in welcome patriots, be cordial, use big words, not bad words.
Sure.
And if you don't know what that means, it's simply because I always teach Colton it's better to use big words than bad words, because then you can insult people and they don't even know what you're talking about, and it's more fun that way. But in this video that's coming up, I was invited a couple years ago several years ago now, to be on a forum to talk about gun control,
mm-hmm.
right? And believe it or not, we were talking about gun control for a long time. This is not something that's brand new. And on this forum, I think even on one scene you'll see them, they had the way the panel was built was they had the conservatives at one end and the liberals at the other.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize
that. Yeah, that's how it was split. What's interesting was I'm on the very end, so I wondered if they worked by degrees out, because the liberal lawyer, who was also a frequent CNN correspondent expert at the time, I don't know if he is now or not, but he was at the time, was on the other end. So I often thought maybe they went from extremes, because I'm the extreme constitutionalist, which I don't think that's bad. That's not bad to be an extremist on the constitutional end.
Right.
And he's the extremist on the liberal end. Now, obviously, we can't play for you the whole thing, but just to sort of set up the background, and the guy's going to come on and say, okay, Chrisanne, we realize that you want to get back into the debate. And he says this because I'm just sitting there while this liberal attorney at the end continually interrupts everybody who's had their point. So the rule was everybody gets 2 minutes to make their point, and then the moderator will move on and give other people their rights, their opportunity to respond, right?
Right.
So with that set up, go ahead, JC, and
so
play
this is a
that.
Gun rights town hall in
gun rights
Florida.
Town hall
is that
in
right?
Yes, it was in Florida. I think it was even in the Panhandle.
Okay.
And the man that had he's going to refer to somebody that spoke. And the man that spoke was a Cuban immigrant, right? He had come from Cuba. He was an older man, and he...
Polish.
No, Polish. Cuban.
Was it Cuban?
Yeah, Cuban. And his concern was that gun control laws would do in America what the dictators did in Cuba.
Sure.
Okay, so right. There's the backdrop.
But I want to ask Chrisanne, because I know you've been silent, you want to get back into this debate. The original question that came up earlier from our gentleman from originally from Cuba, he's concerned about how far this can go. Are the issues, let's keep it in terms of additional gun laws, is it an incremental step to the loss of all gun privileges? Is that a concern? Should people be concerned? Or is it really not an issue?
Well, it is really an issue. The term in the Second Amendment is shall not be infringed, because the framers of our nation...
Doesn't look like her sound's coming through.
Yeah? Okay. I don't know. Ugh, that's rather frustrating, because I'm not hearing it, so... Oh, they said they heard it.
No. They're asking. Do you hear the video?
No, I said, do you hear the video?
Oh, okay.
And they're all responding yes. So
you heard the video? All right.
They're hearing it. I'm just not hearing it.
So it's not coming through on our end. All
right. Right.
We'll check it out.
Okay.
We'll do it again.
But
okay.
I want to
start
ask,
over. Sorry about that.
Chrisanne, because I know you've been silent. You wanted to get back into this debate. The original question that came up earlier from our gentleman from originally from Cuba, he's concerned about how far this can go. Are the issues, let's keep it in terms of additional gun laws, is it an incremental step to the loss of all gun privileges? Is that a concern? Should people be concerned? Or is it really not an issue?
Well, it is really an issue. The term in the Second Amendment is shall not be infringed, because the framers of our nation knew their history. And we all know those who do not know their history are doomed to repeat its mistakes. And we're dooming ourselves to repeat the mistakes of our history. You know, I find it ironic that the argument on the other side of the table is that we have this fear of government and we're built all on fear of this and fear of that. And yet the entire impetus for this Gun Control Act has to do that we have to save our babies. You see, the emotional argument is still there the same. And I also find it ironic that the other side of the table wants to increase laws in order to create a more orderly society when they can't even follow the rules of the debate and wait until they're called upon. So if rules keep law and order for law-abiding citizens, then we should be having no problem having a reasonable discussion about what's going on here. Now, history,
all right, JC,
as this man has lived through history.
So, when when we're in this discussion, like I said, the guy keeps jumping in and interrupting everybody, and you hear everybody clapping because I'm like, look, if more laws make people act orderly, then why can't this man actually follow the rules of a debate? And so it was, this is part of how we need to actually conduct ourselves with these people, because they're the ones that are always calling names. They're the ones that are always doing what they do and responding like that. And so I just want to remind people to be educational in that. If you want to see the whole video, which is over 3.5 minutes long, you can go to YouTube, you can go to Facebook, you can go to Twitter, you can go to LinkedIn, you can go to Instagram and all my social media pages and watch that. But I want to play now this.
I want to add my two cents.
Sure, you know, please, go ahead.
The scripture said there's a time to laugh, a time to cry, a time for war, you know. So confrontational sometimes has its place.
Yes.
Right, you're not saying...
I'm not being a peacenik.
No, I'm just saying.
No.
Sometimes you have to have tough love.
Oh, yeah, and absolutely.
That was a combination.
Yes.
You were educational while at the same time being, I don't even know how to call it. It was so good. You can't even call it confrontational because it was just... It's like getting slapped in the face with a silk glove, you know what I mean?
Well, it's my whole principle of big words rather than bad words,
yeah,
right?
It's
like this t-shirt that I always wanted to get. I love sarcasm because it's like punching someone in the face, but only with words.
Keep it classy, yeah.
Right? There you go. My too classy, Joe? Yeah, keep it classy.
It was confrontational, but classy.
Yes, exactly.
Because it was also educational.
Right.
I love it. That's perfect.
And you could tell... that the guy realized that I was smacking him down, right?
Because it's hilarious because, how he suddenly looked
suddenly
at his phone.
Yeah, he suddenly starts looking at his phone
like, "Will you talk?"
Yeah, right. Exactly. exactly. So, how do you do that? I mean, how do you do that? You do that by soaking up as much as you can, so that it just simply oozes out without being obnoxious. Right?
Yeah, firm. That's good.
Firm.
Lisa says firm. That's a good term.
Yes, good. All right. So now I'm going to spoil my whole reputation now, and I want to go to this video of the professor from Stanford. You all know her. She was in the impeachment hearing thing. Her name is Carlin, and I will call her an idiot. But the reason that I want you to hear this is, and it's a little bit long, but I want you to hear this because this is the argument that we come up against in Constitution. JC, just as a reminder to you, because I don't know, are you able to sort of do magic in here so we can hear this through the headphones, this video when you play it?
Maybe.
Okay.
On the fly.
JC,
just,
we got
just
you.
Go, man.
On the
just
fly.
Go.
All right, so just as a sort of reminder, if you can't hear this, the argument that she's making is nearly identical to the argument that Harvard Oxford law professor at the University of Miami made when we were having that discussion on originalism versus her fantasy, right? So... JC and I have to tell you that story one day. That was also very beautiful. I wish
1789, what the guys meant when they wrote it.
Yeah, exactly. Boom. I wish we had that on video.
Yeah, that was great.
Because this was at the University of Miami School of Law, and they had brought me in to debate a law professor on originalism versus living, breathing document, right? And the look on the professor's the students' faces and the dean of the law school's face when I did my thank you classy gentleman, my classy yet firm smackdown of the liberal law professor on
that.
Yeah,
the debate was about, well, supposed to be about
interpreting the Constitution,
deconstructionism and
Original intent?
Original intent.
Yeah, they brought me in to talk about original intent.
Yeah, it was crazy. So, well, it was funny, and she kept, she was all over the map with her lunacy.
Well,
and the living, breathing document thing, and you said, basically, I don't think you would want your employment contract interpreted as a living, breathing document. And everybody erupted laughing, including the lady's boss.
Who went like this.
The dean of the law school shook her head.
Right. Because I had already laid the foundation that the Constitution was a contract, and, you know, that's why it's not a living, breathing document.
Yeah. Good stuff.
It was funny. It was really, really good stuff.
So the fact that you can find, you know, professors, so-called professors,
Stanford.
Law professors like this.
I mean, in the elite school. That's where you find
this
them.
This was at Stanford. And then
Stanford,
that
right.
was at Miami.
University of Miami, right.
You know, but when you think about the fact that Barack Obama was characterized as a law professor at Chicago Law School. So, I mean, just absolute loons you find in these law schools.
Loony.
You know, it's mind-boggling.
Y'all are loony.
Mind-boggling. I mean, and not only do they teach such crazy nonsense, but they're inept. It's like, you know, when you got in the debate with a couple of the professors, and they're just absolutely inept.
Somebody's asking you what rate you were in the Navy.
Yeah, I answered.
Oh, did you? Okay. No.
All right, so you got Professor Carlin.
Professor Carlin. She
you
was
want to
one
hear
of
her
the,
talk to us.
She and I'm going to lose my classy status just because I can't handle myself. She's one of the dingbats that was.
All right, so what are we going to see here? What are we hearing?
We're going to hear her explain. Okay, so this is Constitution Week, and it's actually a forum put on by the Constitution Society.
Okay.
And it's similar. Original Intent and Carlin is the other version. Mm-hmm. And they had somebody from the Federal Society and then Carlin.
Yeah.
And they're reviewing a book that I haven't read, by the way, will never read, which she says the glorious thing about our Constitution is didn't occur in 1787. The glorious thing about the meaning of our Constitution is what has what we know it to mean today. So she actually says that the Constitution was not finished. Well, she calls it a horribly flawed document. Okay. And then says that something about how it was still being written today by, and well, I want to give it away, but you can hear it.
So she likes the new versions that the corporatist and statist and...
Oh, it's even worse than that, JC. I want you to be able to hear
Satanists
this.
Satanists and Illuminati want to foist upon us. All right, here we go. Let's hear this.
Maybe
brilliant
we should
professor.
Focus most on the Constitution in some interesting ways because it's both the week in which September 17th, which is the anniversary, the Constitution Day occurs, and it's of course also the week of September 11th, which has put a number of important and powerful strains on the Constitution. Now, when Dahlia said earlier that she read the book and she got these chills because the Constitution is actually a pretty great document, she's talking about not the Constitution of 1789, she's talking about the Constitution we have today. And the question of how we got that Constitution is a lot of what the bookkeeping faith is about. Because the words that were on the page in 1789 were, as Justice Marshall said at the bicentennial of the Constitution, a deeply flawed document. Flawed not just because the document expressly recognized in a kind of hint-hint, not nudge-nudge way the presence of slavery in the United States, but also because it didn't recognize some of the rights that we now consider to be absolutely essential to having democratic self-government. And the Constitution, one of the points of the book, is the Constitution was not just made by courts interpreting the Constitution or by people changing the words in the Constitution through amendment, but also by people who gave the Constitution life. And so it's wonderful to be here to talk about this with you today because some of those people who gave the Constitution life are actually in the room. I mean, if you look at Paul Smith and the Lawrence against Texas case, or you look at LaShawn back there, who was responsible for shepherding the amendments to the Voting Rights Act in 2006 through. If you look at Alan Morrison, who changed how we understand separation of powers, or how we understand commercial speech. Well, that's the, one of the major points of the book, is the Constitution. The reason we're having Constitution today is not because of what happened in 1787 or 1789 or 1868, but because of what we have made the Constitution, not just through judicial interpretation, but also through popular interpretation of the Constitution.
That's it. All right, so I want you to realize what you saw there. And JC couldn't hear this, so let me just tell him. She said, the great things about the Constitution did not happen in 1787, 1788. It's what's happened since then, how we've been writing the Constitution since then. And she actually said, JC, that it's not just simply what the courts have said, it's what popular opinion has rewritten about the Constitution. Mm. And this is a professor. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is a professor. Yes, Nova, I wish she was kidding too, but she's not kidding. These people believe this stuff to their core. And I just simply can't wrap my brain around the idiocy about that. Everybody's like, I want to tell you, what you heard was a small piece of an entire hour of this blithering. Okay, I didn't hear the whole hour. I heard enough in what she had to say. But seriously, help me wrap my brain around this stuff, JC. I just don't get it. How do people, it is so incoherent. First and foremost, I mean in the simplest of platforms, what in heaven's name is the purpose of having something in stinking writing if it doesn't mean anything? Where does this come from?
That's a whole show. Where does this come from? I mean, to me, you know, it's just what I was thinking the other day. Colton will be starting high school next year. And I was thinking about the college thing. Like, you know, it's not really safe to send your children to college anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless they're able to, you know, keep whatever you've put into them. You have that threat. This is the garbage that's being taught in our colleges. In fact, Colton
ran in. Taught with conviction. I mean, seriously, taught with conviction.
I wish we had that clip. Colton actually came in and shared with us a little clip about the snowflake conversation. Oh. Like snowflake. Kristen, just how ridiculous they are. And
can I come in? Hey, son, or non-binary child.
Yeah.
This is your non-binary parent. And if you would please allow me to come into your room, I would like to, you know, discuss something with you. But that, if that word discuss doesn't trigger you or something.
So Colton laughs at the snowflakes and mocks them, right, at 13. So he's laughing at the lefty lunacy. If I would send my child to public college or, you know, college, whatever they are, then you would hope they carry that through. But this is the garbage that's being fed. I think, because by the way, we know conservative people who've sent their children to colleges and they just get destroyed. So you think about, you know, 5 days a week or more from sun up to sun down, just being bombarded with stuff like this. How do you expect a reasonable child to come out of that unscathed?
Well, the thing that gives me some hope, JC, is the fact that Colton's generation is almost a recovering reaction from the millennial snowflake, right? Mm-hmm. Because Colton, although Colton's counterculture is a very specific counterculture in its own, because obviously he's our child and he's been experienced and raised in all of this, and he's raised in a conservative Christian environment with morals and all that kind of thing. It basically in a lifestyle where there actually are absolutes and there are rights and there are wrongs. But I believe that there's, in our travels all across America, we've seen the development of that counterculture in that generation coming up the few years before Colton's generation, because he's 13, and even a few years after Colton's, you know, younger than Colton's generation.
Well,
and maybe by the time he gets to college, this generation will populate those areas and overcome it. Now, I'm just going to say straight up, I'm not an advocate for sending your kids to college anymore. I don't think a degree is worth anything anymore.
And we've had shows talking about those things. I was going to say, you know, what we've mentioned before, the show where the professor was run out of his job,
yes,
you know, by the crazy students. And then the college lost a bunch of students, and I mean, mm-hmm, it was on its last leg and basically about to close because of that. But I think the public education system is being undermined. People are leaving. People are not sending them there. The whole dynamic of education is changing. There's so much more online. I mean, the traditional go to brick and mortar school, sit in a desk, you know, paper books,
right,
in front of a teacher, that kind of thing. It's the throwback, and so I think just innovation and technology is moving away, and then the people just getting sick of what they're seeing.
Well,
so I don't know if college as we know it is going to be in another decade.
And think about the fact that so many of Colton's generation, a little bit older, a little bit younger, are now homeschooled.
Right.
I mean, homeschooling is just, it's a whole lot bigger than when I was growing up. I didn't know any homeschool kids when I was growing up. And my goodness, now maybe because we're homeschoolers, you know, we travel in those communities. But the thing that we need to understand here, and this goes back to the liberal attorney who's all about gun laws, you know, and this professor who actually believes that the Constitution is amended, right, by popular opinion.
Yeah.
So you can't argue with her that that's not what the Constitution says, because she actually believes, and let me tell you, the majority of professors in her world believe that the Constitution is rewritten with law. It is rewritten with Supreme Court opinions. It is rewritten with popular opinion. So you can't really approach them with this. You know, you must amend the Constitution in order to change it, because they think that's how it works.
Right.
They are completely oblivious to Article 5. They're completely oblivious to the argument of why it's supposed to be difficult. I mean, the whole argument against the whim of the public, right?
Yeah.
And so we have this issue now. How do we deal with these kind of people, especially when it comes to gun laws? Because this is who populates our population today.
Yeah, and I was in along those lines. A classy gentleman said we need more conservatives populating the education system. That's one perspective, but I say we need alternatives. So it seems like we're always fighting to get in to where they are and,
right,
you know, control their things. I say leave it, get out of it.
Yeah.
You know, there are a number of more conservative schools, mm-hmm, that have risen up. So we need good, sound, I think, constitutional centered education. I mean, think about the Ron Paul curriculum, which that's what Colden is doing next year.
For high school.
Yeah, there are just so many choices. And the education system, it's not about education, mm-hmm, it's about programming, right? So it's funny when you look at the election and how the stuff breaks out, how it falls out, mm-hmm, and they're constantly referring to, you know, the non-educated voters and educated voters, meaning you have a college education. And they kind of use that, the left uses it as this sort of bragging point. Oh, look at the college educated people, they're choosing left candidates. Well, duh.
But their implication, because that's what we've been trained to do.
Right. But their implication is these are the more smarter people, the non-educated or the stupid people. I think it's the opposite. And it's a demonstration that public education, university colleges are not about education. They're about programming.
Right.
So, you know, if you send your kids there, first of all, they own the professorships, they own the classrooms, the textbooks, and all that sort of stuff. It's what you're going to get. It will take you 50 years, I think, at best, to try to get in there and be the professors and whatever. I think we get out of it,
yeah,
start a completely different track, And stop trying to get in there.
Well, and again, I want to just simply say we have to realize that the pieces of paper that they're handing us today really aren't worth anything. They're just actually accreditations of indoctrination. They're just showing you what they've taught. They don't actually give you an education anymore. They just give you a piece of paper. And I would love people to and young people and parents to be seeking education over paperwork, right?
Yeah, and I would say this, somebody mentioned about paying for it. Now, as long as we are paying for it, like we send money to these universities, and we've talked about this before.
Right.
The federal government is sending tax dollars and they're getting state funds and all this sort of stuff. And then our government representatives don't do anything about the lunacy going on. If we're going to be sending our tax dollars there, that's one thing we've hammered. I've sent communication after communication. We talked about this in D.C.
I talked about it the last two times I was in D.C. Somebody needs to do something. That's absolutely right. I just want to put in a plug for LibertyFirstUniversity.com at this point, because we give what the colleges don't. We actually give an education. We don't give diplomas. By the way, the corporately owned governments will not allow us to give pieces of paper. Right. As a matter of fact, they would probably tell us that even having that word university in the name is not allowed. But, right? Whatever. I'm not professing to give you a degree. I'm giving you something better. JC and I are giving you an education. And so here's what I want to do. Because, you know me, I'm a little... This is where I get a little sprightly, right? So you're like, we need one half, I believe, is to pull our kids out of these systems, make alternative paths. I'm for the restoration of apprenticeships programs for our students, the way they used to be. There's no reason you can't be a doctor by being an apprentice through the system and that sort of thing. But this is the other thing that I have. Raise your hand out there if you're a retired person, okay? Because what I want our retired people to do, maybe our stay-at-home moms whose kids are off doing something, or they have time to slip away for a night class or something, most colleges have a program where you can audit the classes. So you don't actually pay. You know, you don't get a degree, but you don't pay anything either. And so you can audit the class. And here's the little thing that I love. You do your research at your local community college or your local state college that's near you, right? You find the most liberal professor you can find, and you audit their class, and you can become a voice
of
reason that those students may never, ever have an opportunity to hear.
Right.
Because they can't fail you. You're not getting a grade for the class.
And you have to practice being classy so that you'll last.
So they won't expel you from the class, right? So that's just be classy, be firm, but be resolved and have a good foundation, right? And then go in there and challenge these professors and give these students an alternative to the garbage that they're in. In the meantime, right? Go in there and make it make your way.
It's changing though. I think the like I said, the whole construct of the educational system is not going to be what we see today. In the next decade, not going to be the same.
Right. So I want you to pull up the since we're talking about guns a little bit, pull up the picture that I had about the NRA thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, wrong one. There you go. So I just want to say that we're praying for everybody in Texas, the church family that was involved in the shooting. And we're glad that that there was somebody trained in violence.
Amen.
Good men trained in violence are the response to bad ones. But the NRA sent a tweet out that really just sort of rubbed me the wrong way. Now maybe
it's not just the NRA. This is everywhere.
This is everywhere. Yeah. And so, right, this is not just the NRA, but this rubs me the wrong way. Maybe I'm oversensitive. Maybe I'm being triggered. I don't know. But this tweet says, a gunman opened fire at White Settlement Church, Texas, and within 3 seconds, a good guy with a gun stopped him. This was possible due to critical changes to the law in 2017. You know what this is bother? What bothers me about this, JC, is the glorification is on the law. It's yeah. not the law that saved that person's life. It is a good man trained in his right to keep and bear arms that saved a life. And this whole idea of, oh, thank you, government, for giving us the permission. Oh, man, yeah. that makes me mad. It really does.
Clearly, they're trying to imply that I think the law, as it was previously formulated, if people would have obeyed the previous law, then they wouldn't have had the firearms there. But it's an unfortunate, it's very unfortunate way to express that. And we've yes. seen that in so many headlines. I think the lieutenant governor said it that way. So you see that over and over again. So it gives that that implication that, oh, thank you, government, for giving us permission to protect ourselves. I mean, look how it turned out when the government gave us permission. It's so great that
yeah,
they did that. So
right.
it's, you know,
implying on the other side that if I actually defended myself or other people without the government's permission, it's no longer acceptable.
Yeah.
So let me just throw that out there. If that had happened and the law had said, no, you can't have guns in the church, and yet somebody had a gun in the church and saved their life within 3 seconds like that, what would be the conversation then?
Right.
Would we be now wanting to throw this person in prison and you know, charge them with murder when all of a sudden the very same act with the very same right now becomes demonized?
Yeah.
Criminal.
Yeah, even the pastor said, use that same kind of phraseology.
Right.
I mean, if it'd be me when I was a pastor, you know, I'd have said, you know what? This wouldn't have been any different prior to 2017, because even though the law was different, we wouldn't have followed it anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, thank goodness. I would probably say, you know, thank goodness the politicians caught up, mm-hmm. you know, and actually conformed the law to our natural rights, mm-hmm. which is still sort of it's still a permission thing.
It's still a permission thing.
I wouldn't have been bragging on, oh my goodness, yeah. I'm so thankful they changed the law so I could protect myself. Really? Come on.
How about slavery much? Seriously. Only a slave master
yeah.
tells a human being when they can and cannot protect themselves.
By the way, it's not a criticism of the pastor or anybody at the church or those defenders, those heroes. But it's amazing how subtle that little seed is
yes.
where it seeps into our language. Because you know everybody in that church are pro-gun, pro-2A,
yes.
you know, all that. But you see how even the language, and I think, again, they're trying to message in sort of shaming people who want to do otherwise with the law.
Right.
But again, it's an unfortunate way to express that.
My simple expression would be, something like you said, we simply have a natural right given to us by our Creator to defend our life, our liberty, and our property, and the lives and the liberties and the properties of others around us, and we are going to do that. And I would simply say it's an absolute shame that there's so many people in America today that think that I must ask permission from a master to protect my own life or the lives of those around me. And I wish I really, really wish that would be something that seep in. And I want people to realize, why did I design the show the way I did today? Because I want you to see the very subtleties that change the way we think are sourced from the very ideology that comes from the Stanford law professor, right?
Yeah.
From Carlin, this idea that we have to get permission from the government is not an amendment of the Constitution. It's not. It's not a lawful change of the Constitution. It is not a lawful anything. It is an unlawful adoption of popular opinion that changes how we look at our natural rights. Samuel Adams said in 1772, by the way, the right of the colonists, the among the natural rights of the colonists are these. He said, first, life, second, liberty, third, property, together, he said, with the right to protect and defend them in the best manner that they can. Bastiat said, what is man but life, liberty, and his property? These are who we are. And if we can't defend these things, then we are merely enslaved by those who are given permission to do that for us. Because I hate repeating myself, but I do realize that education, repetition is the key to education. And when you are dependent upon someone else to save you, when your life is challenged, if you have to wait for somebody to defend you, then you are really enslaved to whomever that person is. Because at the moment they decide whether or not to defend you, they're actually placing a value on your life. No, I can't defend your life today because it puts me in jeopardy, which means my life or my property that I might lose in defense of you is more important than your life. That is the very definition of one man owning another.
Right.
And we really, really need to mention that. I do want to mention somebody had talked about Gun Owners of America out there.
GOA, yep.
Gun Owners of America, let me tell you what, they are right on. We are huge supporters of Gun Owners of America. As a matter of fact, on February 8th, I will be teaching at the Bama Carry Conference in Alabama. You can go to my calendar at chrisannhall.com and find out all the details there, February 8th. And Mr. Pratt from Gun Owners of America is going to be there.
Nice.
Also teaching. And so I love being around Gun Owners America. There's also a local group. What are they? The National... I always forget because it's too many words. You know what I'm talking about, right? And you forgot too.
If you hadn't asked me, yeah. NAGR.
NAGR. Right, mm-hmm. right. National, what is it? Look it up for me. Anyway. So I'm just...
National Association of...
Gun Rights?
Is that it?
The National Association for Gun Rights, yeah, NAGR.
They do the state level,
yes,
right? They have state, yes, level chapters. So those are, yeah, the two. Yeah, those are the two that we back.
Mm-hmm.
So NAGR is the state level,
and GOA
have state
is,
chapels, and GOA is more federal.
More federal, but they also get involved in state level,
yeah,
stuff. So the GOA became really involved in Kansas with the Cox Kettler thing that we were,
right,
we were also involved in. All right, are you ready to close today's show with Mr. Buddy Gig?
Booty Gig? Okay. What did Booty Gig do?
All right. Well, so if you will go to over here,
uh-huh,
and pull up the tweet from Mr. Booty Gig.
Is that this?
Nope.
This?
Nope. The next one over. There you go.
Oh, yeah, that's what he looks like.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, and play that, okay? So remember, we're all Constitution today.
All right.
And I want you guys to hear...
Pete Buttigieg.
Pete Buttigieg. Is that how you say his name?
I think so.
Okay.
Similarly, the amendment process. They were wise enough to realize that they didn't have all the answers and that some things would change. A good example of this is something like slavery or civil rights. It's an embarrassing thing to admit. But the people who wrote the Constitution did not understand that slavery was a bad thing and did not respect civil rights. And yet they created a framework so that as the generations came to understand that that was important, they could write that into the Constitution too and ensure true equal protection for all of them. Similarly, the amendment...
All right, so pull up the Buttigieg picture that I gave you.
So he is...
And let's look at Mr. Buttigieg.
Running for president.
He is actually running for president. Now, I want you to show, this is exactly what I talk about, educated into ignorance. He's a Harvard graduate, a graduate of Oxford University, and he attended Oxford on a Rhodes Scholarship.
Whoop, ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, right?
Alarm bells,
Rhodes. Right? So in that video, JC, you didn't hear it. This just drives me nuts. He actually says the people who wrote the Constitution did not understand that slavery was a bad thing.
Mm.
Now, you know, longtime listeners, this is doubly disturbing to me because you saw his audience. He was obviously speaking to young people.
Brainwashing kids.
Brainwashing our children. And he says, Oxford, Rhodes, Harvard, that those who wrote the Constitution did not understand that slavery was a bad thing. Now, JC, seriously, if the information age was just not so simply stinking easy to find facts,
right,
you could give this bloomin' idiot, sorry, classy guys, you could give this bloomin' idiot a pass. But how do you give a guy a pass when you can go right now to the University of Chicago online webpage for the Constitution and read what the founders themselves wrote about how the Constitution was a despicable blight on America?
Slavery.
Oh, sorry, did I say the Constitution? How slavery was a despicable blight on the American states, right? Well, the American colonies who would become American states. A despicable, and they used those words.
Yeah.
I mean, we have an article at chrisannhall.com, the Constitution ended slavery, but politicians prolonged it.
Yeah, we also have a course on slavery itself. I think we need to do a second. There's so much information on that. And then they got this 1619 project garbage.
We're actually going to talk about that's on the 1619 project is so on my is list. Just, we're going to be talking about that.
So this is just part of that brainwashing program, you know. And again, he's a Rhodes Rockefeller Rhodes scholar.
Cecil Rhodes.
Yeah, Cecil Rhodes.
Cecil Rhodes.
Yeah, look that up.
Hey, if you have not read The Killing of Uncle Sam, then maybe you don't actually know who Cecil Rhodes is. But go get the book. You can get it at Amazon. Killing of Uncle Sam. And there's not a better book, I don't think, on Cecil Rhodes.
We should do an episode on that as well. And talking about Cecil Rhodes and the Rockefellers and all those.
Oh,
all those
that would be awesome. I should put
Pilgrim
that on
Society
my list.
And
yeah, that would be a great show. I don't think that goes... Cecil Rhodes.
So this is just part of that.
On my list.
You know, that's a topic for another day, but... That's what I would expect somebody who's a Rhodes scholar to say. Because you have to undermine the Constitution, you undermine America so that you can stay in control and take over and use it to your own for your own devices.
Right, exactly.
So so if that's that's who you vote for president, that's what you get. You know where Buttigieg stands. You know how ignorant Buttigieg is about the Constitution.
All you gotta do is go to the
Pete
Buttigieg.
Isn't Peter Buttigieg? Not his name. Peter. I think
Pete Buttigieg.
Peter
for president, and you can find all about Pete Buttigieg.
Peter
all
Buttigieg.
Right. I think we're gonna end like Shakespeare likes to put in the middle with a little comic relief from Cuomo.
Okay.
So pull up the Cuomo thing.
Yep.
And run Cuomo. And this is hilarious. You'll love this.
To kill a deer, no one needs 10 bullets to kill a deer.
All right, you can pull that off now because he's escaped. He's looped this, but it's hilarious. No one needs 10 bullets to kill a deer.
That's true.
That's true.
It's not the argument we're making, but it's true.
No, it's not the argument that we're making.
That's called a straw man, by the way.
Oh, thank you for that.
It's
little
called a straw man, because no one's making that argument.
Right.
But now, where you've fallen into the trap is when you begin to argue back. Yeah, I do need 10 to kill a deer. Then you sound absurd. You've fallen into a trap.
Right.
Nobody's making that argument.
Yeah.
Of course you don't. Kill a deer in one shot.
Right.
Piece of cake. That's not why I
need
10 rounds.
If you need more than two, you should probably not be hunting.
That's not why I need 30 rounds. That's not why I need 40 rounds. That's not why I need 10,000 rounds.
Next thing you know.
Nothing to do with deer, moron.
Next thing you know, Cuomo's going to be trying to argue that the drafters of the Constitution put the Second Amendment in there because they were afraid that the deer and the rabbit were going to try to disarm us.
Yeah.
So there you go. As we end up the show today, a little comic relief for you.
This is New Year's Eve, right?
This is New Year's Eve.
Okay.
So we will. I'm going to make JC come on the air tomorrow. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll be back tomorrow, and JC is going to be scheduling our guest, hopefully for this week, so we can talk about this great guest. Can't wait to have him. I'm not going to tell you who he is in case he can't come, but we're excited about that. JC and I in the 2020 year are going to start having more guests. I'm going to claim that, and we're going, really, what you do to support us. Maybe show them the text there,
that,
JC.
That wasn't Freddie Mercury. That was Booty Gig.
Oh. Look, what you guys, if you really enjoy what we're doing here, I mean, over 1,000 people watch this show. I'm convinced there's more than that, but YouTube doesn't let anybody know that, right? Plus, we're out on the airwaves and we watch on Facebook and that sort of thing, right? So the thousands of people who watch this show, just text IMPACT2020. To 33777, please. Make this New Year's resolution to promote and support liberty throughout the year for $4.99 a month. What you would spend on a coffee. Just go to Starbucks, go in the door and say, I'm not going to buy one today. I'm supporting liberty instead, and turn around and walk out. Just once a month. That's all you have to do. Or as JC says,
you can say, I'm not drinking your coffee or buying it ever because it tastes like pig swill and you're a bunch of lefty loons. I mean, that's...
But seriously, seriously, $4.99 a month helps us do what we do. We have revamped the whole city studio. We have new equipment. We have ways to do interviews. All of this stuff takes money and it also takes time to do what we do.
And we'll see about enabling super chats next time.
Super chats? Oh, please.
So you can do that. So those people want to do that, they can do
that. Oh, okay. I've been wondering about that myself. So thank you guys for all your support. LibertyFirstUniversity.com is also how you support us monthly and get the education at the same time. We're putting up new courses all the time. So please.
So remember, in as much as in you is, live in peace with all men.
Amen. And if we tamely surrender liberty, we dangerously involve others in our doom.
All right.
Thank you, guys. God bless, and see you next time.
Oh, Lusty.
We got somebody from Oh, Lusty?
I guess.
You going to make me say goodbye twice?
I'm sorry. Are you in North Florida,
Wind Chimer? We know where Oh, Lusty is.
Grew up there, bro.
Woo-hoo.
All right. Peace out, guys.
Love you guys. See you tomorrow.